Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we're joined by Timothy Ongst, Ravi Patel, and Smit Patel. Timothy is a professor of pharmacy practice at the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences and founder of the Digital Apothecary, a digital space where healthcare professionals can access novel tools, devices, and developments regarding the future of the pharmacy landscape. We're also here with Ravi Patel, pharmacist at Blueberry Pharmacy and digital health expert focused on reimagining the future of healthcare, as well as our third and final guest, Smit Patel, a pharmacist, professor at Brown Lifespan Center of Digital Health, and an expert in AI and digital health who serves as an advisor for The Economist Impact. Welcome and thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. So today we're going to be discussing evolving pharmacy models and the overall place that digital healthcare may have in the future, or kind of already is having in the pharmacy practice. So more specifically, we'll be exploring our experts' knowledge of ongoing developments regarding direct-to-patient or DTP pharmacy models and what they mean for the greater pharmacy industry. So to start, can you guys just give us an overview of what DTP pharmacy models are and why they've really been picking up steam across the greater industry as of late?
You know, I think a lot of us can have different takes on this, and I'll leave first off, for me in general, I think it's a representation of just the changing dynamics of how we access care, building upon that. I mean, we see this across the whole segments of society where you want things now. I mean, that's just how it is. So anything that can reduce friction points along that journey of getting your medication, people have been getting into. And we see multiple companies get into it, whether that's, you know, seeing a provider, whether it's a prescription itself, whether it's cost, whether then it's access, whether it's delivery and such. And I think the novel thing that we never thought about for a long time was how pharma plays a role in it. I mean, for us in the pharmacy space, pharma sells drugs, goes to generally a wholesaler distributor, and that then the pharmacy gets. And that's, we know they make the drugs, but we work through our distributors, get them, and then we sell and dispense them. Now, pharma wants to help be the initiator for this pipeline in some way. And I think that's the really what's a changing dynamic is now a pharmaceutical company wants to, you know, advertise themselves, come to us and you can get your medication from us too. But I think this is where it gets a little bit more segmented, as we'll discuss, is it's not truly like they're selling directly to us, but they are going to be that face that we never really thought about before. And to me, I think that's really fascinating because that opens up a new pipeline that's untraditional, I think, in the pharmacy setting.
And I really like Tim's take when we think of experience being such a key component of this direct model. I want to zoom out as well and think about the context in which that change in experience is taking place. We've seen a pendulum swing over the last, say, 4 to 5 decades of pharmacy between what the experience looks like for medications, between things like generic medications and the experience with branded medications. And so if we think in the more recent history, we're looking at 90%+ rate of dispensing for generic medications, which are very high volume, very low cost, and very low margin. And so this starts to answer a really important question that as we see that percent of dispensing of generic medications go up over time, what happens to brands, especially when we think about that question of experience like Tin brought up?
Cool. So obviously, we're going to dive deep into that, kind of these questions and really what's ongoing in this space. But for listeners that may be unfamiliar with various patient and consumer models, can you explain the differences between DTC, DTP, and DTE models and kind of which ones that we'll be focusing on today?
Absolutely. So when we think about DTC or direct to consumer, it's primarily focused on the awareness and the engagement model. So think of it like traditional pharma advertisements, the TV, the digital, the social, that essentially educates the patients and then activates these patients. But ultimately, this may route to a legacy provider or pharmacy, but it's not the case always. You know, it's not always the closing the loop on those access and the fulfillment. However, what's really interesting is the DTP, direct to patient, which is more a model where patient journey is vertically integrated, all the way from virtual evaluations, the diagnosis, telehealth, prescribing, medication fulfillment, delivery at home, so that pharma, the manufacturers, partner with various different entity providers to create that end-to-end experience. And then DTE, which is the direct-to-employer, is essentially a business model, B2B strategy, where manufacturers sell directly to self-insured employers with essentially more transparent pricing and lower pricing for employers. For today's discussion, essentially, as it relates to independent pharmacies, pharmacies who are seeing this new models of direct-to-patient will focus on DTP.
Awesome. Perfectly said. I appreciate you kind of drawing those lines between the various stakeholders, because these models are touching all of those different people, but in kind of different ways. So really diving into it now. So amid current developments from the federal government related to the shifting pharmacy model, the current presidential administration has introduced things like Trump RX and a reestablishment of the most favored nation drug pricing policy. What do you guys think the government is really trying to attempt in the long run regarding U.S. patients' access to medications? And where does this DTP model fall like in line with everything?
I'll take a crack at it first. I'm going to build upon like what Ravi and Spin have said so far. When I look at this issue, I think it's a representation of, like, where we've seen traditional pharmacy really dispensing medications as well. I mean, yes, we owe the bulwark for getting the medications, but I think specialty pharmacy, the explosion of that in the past decade, 50% of profits come from specialty overall, and yet they still make up a small percentage of actual, you know, footprint pharmacy spaces. That leaves a lot of this other going on. And as Ravi talked about, you know, we see a big push for generics. We've also seen a big push then for central fills, for automation taking into play. It's a volume-based business at the end for that. And I think pharma and other companies are looking at this like, you know, what is this landscape going to look like? What is the future of care? Where is patients going to have certain medical conditions need treatment? And if a lot of it's going to be like, you know, either specialty or large molecules or high cost medications, they really need to ensure that the delivery factor gets to those patients, either to avoid primary non-adherence or to have a medical misadventure or patient not familiar with the product and then abandon it, which is costly for everyone at play. So it's a lot of pharmacoeconomic assessments that goes into this, along with patient dynamics and just the delivery care, how we access it. The reason I bring this all into play is that I think this is what some people have talked about, and even amongst ourselves, is like, do we eventually see a push for pharma really taking on the brands? And a lot of pharmacies that are current incumbents taking on the generics. And we almost had this weird dichotomy split up that we never really had in the past. And then this is where you see Trump RX and these other things come into place. It's like, well, then what's your central area to get all this information? What's your information distribution place to get all this? Because while pharma can go on it one-on-one by themselves, at the end of the day, it's going to be overload for the patients. I mean, direct-to-consumer advertisement can only get you so far. Reaching out to providers can only get you so far. So what is going to be your hub for this information? And that's maybe where you could say this argument is this administration may be making a play for that. Others may also make a play for that. But if we know and we can think that this theory is going to go through, where we see this weird split in how people gain medications, who's going to take point and stuff like that, then that's a big shakeup, I think, for everyone in that touches pharmacy, whether it's patients, providers, orgs, thinking about, well, how do we direct our patients then to get these medications? Where do we send the scripts? How do we set all this up? So I think that's like the bigger play there that we're trying to prep for, and that we can expect something to come from there. And I'll leave it to Ravi and Spit to like call out some of the nitty gritty with it, because there is a lot that goes into here that can explain why we're seeing these shifts too in general.
I do want to double tap on with two of the things that Tim mentioned around economics of this behind the policies, because I think the intent from the policy side, leaving the politics part, is increasing the price transparency. Patients for a very long time has asked for, how do we have price transparency upfront, not once a care has been given to them? And then the second is, how do they also reduce the patient out-of-pocket cost too, when you think about these price transparency? And last but not the least, and if you think about on the back end, how can they rebalance the negotiation power between the drug supply chain for the access component? So I think when we think about beyond those access and clinical mortgage around it, we need to think through like the policy on a long term is designed of what it is. However, what we have not figured out as an industry and we need to do with pharmacists at place and pharmacies at place is how to do that. The workflow integrations, the integrations of clinical, operational, economics behind the scenes. It's more about the vision of the policy and where we need to go is being outlined And I think that would be really interesting as we align policies and put it in practice. What does that look like over the next 5 years? And how do we reshift, increase access, higher outcomes, but also align policy and infrastructure with that?
Awesome. Now, yeah, I appreciate you guys sharing those insights. Obviously, it's a super complex kind of like the supply chain's complex already to begin with, and adding this kind of digital aspect to it, it's where the shift is inevitably heading. Also, obviously, like this is a higher level kind of conversation, and we could definitely get into the specifics of various stakeholders and stuff, but kind of just moving aside to like the pharmacies and the PBMs, if these DTP pharmacy models really do become the new norm in practice, how will this affect the common practices of both PBMs and then the retail and independent pharmacy industry?
Right. I think that's a really good question, especially as we think about the preceding one that Tin and Smith offered some really unique insights for ongoing and evolving policy changes. When we look to something like our direct-to-patient models, I wanted to highlight that these have existed already for a little while now. Patients have had access to things like brands directly for chronic ongoing disease management through a variety of disease states. Usually, as we think of them, chronic and ongoing are approaches to things like managing care under endocrinology for something like thyroids has been an access opportunity for patients for a while. And the unique impact that we might think about for the nature of care, maybe at the point of dispensing, maybe in that framework of PBMs for reimbursement, is that they kind of already exist. Some of these challenges that we think about, consistency of care. If my patient is filling at one pharmacy, getting a specialty med delivered from another pharmacy, and now using a direct to pharmacy model for access to something like a brand or a specific medication, these are challenges that have already existed. The real question lies whether this is going to compound those issues or provide some clarity to say that we now have a very well-defined channel for which these patients can access their brands. A really interesting direct shift that we've seen in the last 18 months, maybe 2 years, has been the access to something like GLP-1s. We saw when they were first made available that they were very uniquely defined and constrained in terms of accessibility, as well as questions of things like clinical applications and review. And as that demand increase, as the back-end manufacturer and wholesaler supply chain was made more robust, we saw that switch to direct-to-patient access, some of which was economic, some of which was focused on the accessibility in terms of where to find this info, and some of it was the question of the economics. If that patient is paying directly to that manufacturer, what does that mean for the models that might already be in place? It means that we'll see more of the same, multiple challenges around consistency of care, adherence, and some clinical questions that we'll have to think about. Is this clinically defensible for a specific medication to now be accessible directly to a patient compared to ongoing prescriber, pharmacy, and patient care?
That was perfectly said. I think, obviously, like you guys had said, it's kind of a lot of these developments are things that experts are anticipating, and it's obviously still so developing. But I think it's a good segue into my next question. And I kind of wanted to, you guys mentioned the challenges, some of the risks that might be proposed within all these developments. But with these DTP models developing rapidly for swift integration, what challenges have come up or do you expect to rise as the marketplace moves closer and closer to this new pharmacy landscape?
I think I'll build upon what Robbie said earlier and even the earlier question. There's a lot of things that are not sustainable with our current healthcare practices. And we know that. And I think that's why we're advocating for change. I mean, the biggest mistake you can make is just say we reach peak performance and just keep doing it because we're not there. However, it's like, you know, so how do we do that? We have a lot of businesses, PBMs, current pharmacy incumbents that are set to continue as things are. DTP offers another pathway. It offers also opportunities for new companies to come in to piggyback on that or to drive healthcare in a different direction for all intents and purposes. So we're going to see some bickering, I think, in healthcare, like to cut to the chase. Like we're going to see our current incumbents not like some of these things. We're going to see some of them have to figure out how to adjust. maybe how themselves to join. And I think we'll see a different carve out within, I think for the relevance of us is in pharmacy. We'll see different companies engage in these things. Other companies maybe say trying to block some of these things. And it's going to leave a lot of different pharmacy businesses to decide, well, which path am I going to take in the future? Is this, I want to work directly with a branded pharmaceutical company. Do I want to go in a different means of selling medications to my patients that doesn't necessarily mean it's insurance and payback driven? These are things I think that anyone listening to this that is in the pharmacy space, like the question is right now is, you know, what is going on? And what does your business look like in the next 5 years with these expectations of changing? Our current mechanisms are non-sustainable. Pharmaceutical companies are trying to offer another possibility. Other companies are trying to offer other possibilities. And these are all built on all these new technological developments that facilitate this stuff. On the flip side, it could cause problems. I mean, like the one thing I'm concerned clinically is like medication reconciliation. Like that's like going to be a headache for me personally, working in clinical space, for instance. Like you get your medication from which pharmacy, which business, this thing, that thing. Like, my God, like this is like an example where I'm a little scared. I can see the benefit for my patients for access, yes. But my other concern and on the flip side is, and my, you know, my caution is like, you know, how do we handle all this data is coming from different silos that come together? And are we even there? And this builds that, you know, what Smith was talking about, like, yeah, we want to do this, but we have to build up a lot of the back end for this. Otherwise, we could come out and cause other issues there. So I think we're going to go that direction. And this is where, to your question, like, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of threats, but, you know, this is going to take time. And this may be opportunity for some people to get into this space to really build out where these weaknesses are, because we don't have anything present to handle it.
I'll build on that with what Tim had mentioned. And we have been talking about this for a while between the three of us, because we see it from so many different lenses. I can't even think to play a policy expert on TV if I tried. But what I think about often is a question of experience. And I can think about asking myself a lot of these questions. And one of the things that as a group we've thought about are three kind of buckets that might move things forward. And Tim addressed some of the important factors that when we think about market strategy, about financial sustainability, these are great questions for a lot of the impacted directions for organizations that might be thinking strategically. If we looked at it from the lens of experience, some of the questions we ask ourselves were around what Tim had mentioned early is the question of access. Does this change what patients can engage with for the medications that they'll get? We think about the evidence of a medication when we think about whether or not a prescriber wants to start a patient on a specific medication. You think about what we might lose in addition to what we might gain for that clinical access through the evidence of a specific medication. And then, of course, the safety to what Tim had mentioned before and what Smit was talking about when we think about policy impact. What is the impact of removing some component of care that goes directly to a patient with that medication? Are we thinking about monitoring or therapeutic index? And so that's some of the frame that we think about when we ask ourselves this question that I'm trying to frame in our lens. What are we looking at with these different models? Is it providing more access? What's the evidence that makes it clinically defensible? And is it safe?
And I'll wrap it up with, you know, Tim covered on a lot of like the hows, the workflows, the infrastructure, the incentives, the business behind what traditionally pharmacies used to do, volume plays, service plays to what does that future look like? And what Ravi mentioned is around more clinical aspects of those safety, the activation of those patients, the continuity of those patients with those independent pharmacies was just critical. So when the opportunity, the challenge, I think, for the pharmacy world and the practice is going to be more similarly, is how do we evolve our practices and thinking from those dispensing high volume based or specialty service based to like more connected service driven and a digitally integrated model, which in vision, a lot of people wanted to do that, but did not have the piping to do that or the policy support or the business model innovation to do that. Now, I think we are entering that phase of moving from those hows and whats we know to how do we drive it and build it in the practice.
I think that was perfectly said. I think that all of your responses there is really kind of like the brunt of like what to kind of expect. Like you guys had mentioned, like the questions, that the important questions that really need to be asked. It seems to me that the past kind of like few years and going forward is really an inflection point for pharmacies and the way that they kind of do business and everything that's going on around them. So I just had one more question kind of just to wrap it up and put a bow on this conversation and see what you guys kind of really think about the future. So really just want to get your thoughts, each of your thoughts on where you think the future of pharmacy is headed amid all of these developments, kind of maybe giving your own specific expertise, your own lens to kind of how you envision it.
I'll take the first round of trying to answer a really important question, a really wide-ranging question. I always think of the lens of what's the problem we're trying to solve for. And all of the different stakeholders we talked about today have a different problem that we might think that we're trying to address. Manufacturers might see new pipeline of engagement. Pharmacies might see a new wraparound service that they might be able to better address to address this problem of continuity of care. And patients might see this challenge of transparency addressed through these direct-to-patient models. So as we think about this role and impact of direct-to-patient models evolving, I think we'll see more and more of not only potential answers to the question of what problem are we solving with this model, but we'll see the evolution of that question itself. Are we solving the problem based on a strength within what we already do in the pharmacy? Are we trying to develop a new channel of patient and brand trust if we're a manufacturer? And are we as patients, which for better or for worse, we all become, getting the best out of what this technology and model have to offer? That's what I'm excited to see, the problem statements that come up as we move forward.
I love that, especially diving into the problem side, Rovi. And I think building on that, from my perspective, I think the future of pharmacy is led up less about the locations and more about functions. And I think we have to evolve our thinking around where are pharmacies, pharmacists in the entire ecosystem of healthcare delivering the value. What used to be 20 years ago or 10 years ago is a lot more different than what's from now. While DTP, direct to patient, has been a talk track within various conferences for just tech and pharma. Essentially, at the end of the day, if you think about from the bottoms-up approach, pharmacies and pharmacists are the ones who are in daily direct contact with the patients and how patients are getting access to, especially when you think about in the independent and the community settings or inpatient settings. So as we drive towards and move towards those new consumer-driven ecosystems and new digitally connected ecosystems, I think we need to think about where pharmacy wants to be more of a function in the value that we want to drive towards in this new digitized world. And I think there is a great arena where pharmacists can drive this value. It's a matter of what we talked about, like the how, and how do we figure out those infrastructures, those incentives for pharmacists, and then those frameworks of laying it out in the practice.
My observation is people tend to make the common mistake of thinking a situation will last forever. And that's one of the biggest things I think I've really caught up in pharmacy is that, I mean, as a business model and as we've been doing things, you know, since pharmaceutical companies started mass producing medications to give to us to dispense out, we've kind of been doing the same thing. The mechanisms have changed. The technology has changed. I think we've still been beholden, though, that we are a central place that people always come get medications to and that a brick and mortar or related fancies may exist. I think that has really shaken in the past decade. And I think that's where things are getting hit hard right now. The question should be, why is that going on? Like, why is this occurring? And I think this then builds once you understand the why, then we go into like the how to address that Smith and Robbie you're talking about, like and how to pivot in some ways. I think that's really where we will have to go, whether it's just how we regard ourselves of fitting into the healthcare spectrum as a business, as a profession is going to matter. Look, I don't think the way that pharmacy currently operates is sustainable. And I've said that a few times. And I think it comes down to just because of the economics and because of the expectations and that we can't sit in the back and just say we will dictate the process because other people will just go around us at the end of the day. And that may be what some of this is a representation of some people getting fed up with the process and pharma and others coming in saying, hey, there might be a better way and maybe we can do it. And I think, you know, things coming to a head, like that's not going to be a positive. I think that leaves patients in between and an opportunity for them to be harmed for the sake of business. And I don't want that. So I think it's definitely a question of like, you know, how this can still be a net positive overall, building upon what we've done, what we can do in the best interest of our patients, whether it's price transparency, whether it's access, whether it's maintaining the ability of pharmacists to be that central line to help provide healthcare services in the community for our patients. Just how that looks like, as we've been saying, is what has to be envisioned and addressed, because we don't have the recipe for it yet. It's still to be written. And I think that's, if you take anything from this conversation, it's like, this is something to look into and say, you know, is this, what, where can we go and what can we build upon? What can we do?
Awesome. Perfectly said. I think, you know, going from Robbie's points on the fact that this has been going on and it's still going to be going on, but it's just evolving into like what Smith said with those ecosystems. And it's not really about the place per se, but kind of the systems and the relationships here as they evolve. So obviously there's going to be so much more to look forward to within these developments. I appreciate you guys joining me today, and we'll definitely keep in touch to kind of see what happens in the near future. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys taking the time today to join me.
Thank you for having me, Russ. I appreciate it.